Good morning. Today, Mirat Hashem will be the last shiur on the topic of Skarv Macholos Asuras. We ended off last week discussing the concept of Nizdamin, that although the Isser of doing business with Macholos Asuras is, according to most places, Midaraisa, the Isser is only when your intent, well, you went into it with the intent of doing business. On the other hand, if it's Nizdamin, the simplest case, in the case of where the pasuk says it is mutter, is a person has an animal, he shechs it, and something goes wrong, and it's an avela or it's a treifa. So there's no iser hanah. You're allowed to go ahead, you're allowed to sell it, you're allowed to do business with it. And hu hadin, the Mishnah says, if you set a trap and a tummy animal wanders into it, you can go ahead, you can sell it, because your intent was not to do business with something which was tamei. It just happened that way, and the iser would not apply. Now, based on this, we said that Taz extends this heter to a case where you're buying or renting a city, and along with the city came with some chazerim. So there, the Taz says, since your intent is you're not in the chazer business, you're in the city business. This comes along, it's a small part, there's no way to separate it, the goy is not willing to just carve out the chazerim. So in that case, that's called nizdamen, this is not your choice, and that would be mutter. Now this case, this psak was pretty widely accepted, because you have no choice, that's not your kavana. Marshag extends it a case where a person's investing in a bank, the bank on the side raised pigs. So he says also, your intent is not, you're not going into the pig business, you're trying to invest because you want the bank, you don't have the option, it's not up to you, and therefore the Maharshag says there's nothing wrong with doing that business. The Taz then has another case, where a person is in the fur or in the leather business, and he buys animals. Apparently if you shech the animal, that ruins the hide. So they wanted to just kill it in another way and then sell off the meat. The Taz says the same heter would apply. Since your intent is you're involved in the fur business or the hide business, the reason why you're killing the animal as opposed to shechita is simply because you don't want to ruin the hide. So now the meat is simply a byproduct. You're stuck with it. That wasn't your intent. That is the equivalent of nizdamen. It's like it felt like a tummy animal wandered into your trap. And the Taz says that would be mutter. On this case, many Akronim argue. And they say it's really not doim. Because in the case of a trap, you set a trap. You want your kosher food to supply your kosher customers. You can't control what goes in. And if a tummy animal wanders in, that is okay. The case of the city as well. You're in the business to go ahead to rent the city, make the money off the real estate. If you're stuck, you have no option, you have the chazerim come along with it, okay, that's a byproduct, that's on the side, and that's okay. The problem is that in this case, when a person is buying animals, killing them, selling off the hides and selling off the meat, meat is expensive. You're going to sell off the entire cow or the entire animal, the meat is a very significant part of your business. And in many cases, if you wouldn't be able to sell the meat, you wouldn't be able to be in the fur business, because to take an animal and kill it and just sell the hide, you'll lose money. So if your whole business model, your whole kavana going in is you're really in two businesses. You're in the fur business and the hide, and you're in the meat business. So in that case, it's not nizdamen, it's not just a byproduct that happens to come along. This is a meaningful part of your business, and although perhaps you prefer that it not be, if the facts are that this whole industry doesn't make sense if you're not selling off the meat, there are many poiskim or machmir and say, this is not called nizdamen, and this would be asur. It very much would depend on the case. If you're dealing with a mink or something where the fur is worth much more, and you'd be able to do just fine without selling off the meat, so there it's more mistaber to say that it's like nizdamen, and it perhaps would be okay. But in a case where you need to sell the meat, and that's part of your original kavano, there it's very hard to be samech lahakam. Now, we mentioned last week that a very common shaila that came up is Jews very often had bars. They sold liquor or wine to goyim. Goyim, the religious ones, were not able to sell wine. So it was one of the few industries or panoses that Jews were able to engage in. There were a number of cases where a person had a bar, Our business was doing just fine. Until competition opened up. A guy opened up, managed to open up a bar. And besides selling the wine, they also, on the side, they had a little barbecue, and they sold their chazer on the side. Apparently, the goyim back then, while they were drinking beer and watching the game, they also liked having fried or barbecued chazer. So everyone started going to the competition. And the question is there any way where some had to find a heter for the Yiddish establishment to go ahead and to start engaging in Schayerov with the Chazerim? So clearly, so we mentioned last week there was an Aruch HaShulchan that had tremendous Chiddush, that if your main parnosa is the liquor and just on the side you have to sell some tarifos just so that you don't lose the customers, the Aruch HaShulchan said that is like Nizdam and the Aruch HaShulchan was Mekel. However, the Gros Moshe very strongly argued, and he says that no, all the cases where we were Mekel so far, when you rent the city, it's a package deal. You can't carve out, you're stuck with the pigs. In that case, that's Nizdam and you can be Mekel. Over here, where it's your choice, you have your bar on the side, and now you're going ahead and you're calling up a supplier and ordering pork, there that's not Nizdam, and there you're actively going out and doing it. So although you're doing it to protect your other business, but that's not called Nizdamen, that would be Schayra, and Rav Moshe says you cannot be Mekel with his Aruch HaShulchan. But what about another idea? What would be, you have your establishment, you're selling schnapps. Now the Goyim want to have a convenient way where while they're drinking, they can also have their meat. So what would be, there's a vacant store next to you. You call up your friend the Goy and say, listen, I have a lucrative business opportunity for you. I have my bar, people are there, they're drinking, they're very hungry, they're sitting around, they're bored. Why don't you open a Burger King next to me? Open up next to me.
Session.
What? We'll get there. Next door. Would there be anything wrong with telling a guy or arranging for a guy to open up a trefa restaurant next to you? No. You're not doing schayr. The guy is doing schayr. Now, let's take it to the next level. This guy doesn't have any financing. He can't afford to open up a Burger King franchise. So he needs to borrow money from you in order to open up the store. Would there be anything wrong with lending a guy money, charging him interest, to allow him to engage in Schayer B'Macholos Asuras? The answer is no. There's no Isra or Goy doing Schayer B'Macholos Asuras. So you want to lend him the funds, and now he will go into the Schayer, the Macholos Asuras business, that would be perfectly okay. Now let's take it to the next level in two different ways. What if instead of the store next door, you let him set up a little kiosk, a little stand in your bar, where he's going to be selling chazer. But it's his, it's not yours. Are you being over an isser of macholos asuras? So technically, no. The goy is selling it, it's in your store. You may be charging him rent, but you're not selling any chazer. So technically, in this case, it would be mutter. Nevertheless, Maram Shik says that there is a very strong maros ayin. People who walk into your establishment, they're not going to realize that this concession is owned by a guy and has nothing to do with you, and they're just your tenants. And if a Maram Shik is only makel in this case by a hefsid meruba, it's only when there's a tremendous need for it. Number two, he says you have to put a mechita. You have to put some sort of separation, segregating your place with his place. Otherwise, we have this chashash that you'll come to eat it because it's in your store. I guess there's no iser gzeilo because the guy is your buddy. You're kind of working together. But in a case where, so he says you have to make a mechitza. And lastly, he says you also have to change the name. Instead of, you can't have a kosher delight sign hanging on your doorstep. You have to change the name of the company to include the guy, that people know that this guy is either your partner, or I guess alternatively that this is a separate concession that has nothing to do with you. So in though you have all these things together, there the Ram Shik is Mekel B'Mokoyim Hefsin Meruba. Otherwise, there's certainly Maris Ayin, and we have this Chashash of perhaps a person will come to eat it. That's if you want to set up a concession. Let's talk about the other angle. Is what happens if you don't want to be a direct owner? You want to have a guy buy and sell Machalas Asuras for you. is there an issur giving money to the goy and say and telling him, you go ahead and you do the business for me? So, on one extreme, the case we mentioned before, if you lend money to a guy comes to you and says, I want to open a Burger King, I need financing. So if you lend him money, you charge him interest, and he goes ahead and opens up a trefa restaurant, there's nothing wrong with that. Because you're not doing business, it's his business, you're charging him rent or interest on your money, and that's okay. There is a discussion about if you ask him for a UCC, or he has to pledge his pork as collateral for the loan, that is a discussion, whether that's mutter or asr, that we're not going to discuss right now. But at least conceptually, lending him money is certainly okay. What if you don't want to lend it to him? You want to own the business, or you want to get either all the profits or a share of the profits, you'll split the profits, but he's going to do the actual work. Is that mutter or is that asr? So, on one hand, perhaps it's mutter. Because are you doing the svara? A goy is going out. He's buying the pork. He's selling the pork. You're not touching it. So if it comes to chashash, they will come to eat it. You have no access to it. The goy's office is 100 miles away. Elamai, what's the problem? You're buying it and you're selling it. Can you send a goy as your shliach to go ahead and buy something for you? Can he make a kinyan for you? So the rule is, ain't shliach l'akam. For that matter, ain't shliach l'dvar veir. So therefore, perhaps this should be mutter, because you're not doing the buying and selling. It's a goy, he's not your shliach. So perhaps you can say, this is not my business, this is the goy's problem, and he does what he's doing the machos asuris, and therefore perhaps it will be mutter. Now there's a tremendous discussion among the later achronim discussing these kind of cases. The Imrei Eish very strongly argues, for a number of reasons. He says, first of all, although ain't shlichus la'akam, there is a concept we find in Hilchos Ribbis that we do say shlichus la'akam l'chumra. That if you send a goy, if a person has a bank and he has a goy managing the bank for him, even though in theory ain't shlichus la'akam, nevertheless, when in many cases in Ribbis and many places can extend it across the board to really any yisr, if a goy is doing it for you, we say l'chumra yeh shlichus, and therefore it's like you're doing the business. On top of that, some achroinim learn that Machos Asur, as we mentioned, there's a stira in the Pesukim. On one hand, the Pasuk is Mashma, there's an Isra Hana. We have another Pasuk that's Mufurish, that's only an Isra Achila, it's Mutabana. And the Gemara Darshins, but Schoira is going to be Asur. Some Achroinim understood that Binegeas, there's an Isra, Binegeas Schoira, the Isra Hana remains. In other words, you're allowed to have Hana for most things in any way except doing business. Doing the hana of business, that is asr by machalas asurus. And therefore, it's not a question of the maisa isr. The reason why you can't do business is not the act of buying, the act of selling that's asr. The isr is being nene from business of tarifas. And therefore, we don't focus on who's doing the buying, who's doing the selling. We look at the fact you are a partner in this business, you are getting the profits of this business, and therefore, regardless of who's doing the action, whether yesh lichus, ain shlichus, nevertheless, as long as there is hana, it's going to be asr. Now, halacha l'maisa, most poskim are either machmir, or certainly say that a person should avoid doing it, because although you have a goy as a front, since you are a partner, since you're getting a share of the profits, this is going to be asr. What happens if we come up with a middle case? We mentioned before you're allowed to lend money to a goy and charge him interest, even though he'll engage in this kind of business. What if you lend money to the goy and you tell him, I'm charging you, but the interest that I want, I don't want a flat rate. I want a third of the profits that you generate off this business. Now, in this case, you're making it clear you're not becoming a partner in the underlying business. The food that you buy is yours. You're not acting as my agent. It's not my business. I have no ownership of the asset. But if you want to know how much I'm charging for my money, instead of charging you a flat interest rate, I'm asking you for a share of the profits. Is that called like you are being nene from the sclera? Is that called that the goy is your front, if you will, doing business on your behalf? Or perhaps no. Perhaps in this case, it is just schar ma'isav u'noitel. It's just an interest rate that you're charging. Instead of a flat rate, it's a share of the profits. So how do we deal with this case? So before we get to the halacha l'mayis of this case, I'd like to broaden the discussion and take advantage of the remaining time of the shiur to discuss the general concept of a harama. We've had many times, we've discussed in Chosh Mishpat, it has become up more often in Aruch Chaim, different haramas, different structure, legal structures that are set up, whether it's Mechiris Chametz, whether it's a Heteriskel, a Prusbel, various things that were set up in order to avoid various Isurim. What is halacha? Is harama mutter? Is it aser? Is it lechachilo? Is it v'dieved? Doraisa? Dorabanan? What's the gather of the varma? When do we allow such things? When do we encourage such things? And when is it aser? Actually, last week I got an interesting email. I actually got some very interesting emails. But this one was from a fellow who asked me to look over two documents for him. Okay? The first document was a heteriska. Pretty standard heteriska. And nothing all that unique about it. The second document was a cow ear sale document. Cow ear sale. Which word didn't you understand? Someone is selling the ears of his cows. Now, this is the first time I actually had to review a cow ear sale document. But, in fact, there's actually, the Torah writes, there's a mitzvah to sell the ears of your cow. Exactly. Exactly. We'll get to in a moment, there's a din of Bechar. A way to avoid Kedushas Bechar is to have a goy as a shotif. And not only is it allowed, the Torah says today it's a mitzvah to do so. So, we find, again, we have all sorts of haramas or interesting transactions that we enter into. I'd like to go through briefly, many of the haramas and talk about each one and try to give a little bit of a framework when we allow it, when we don't allow it, when it's lechachil, and when it's b'diavad. So we'll begin with haramas that are primarily found in Hilchos Yontif. And that is, we find that if a person shechs an animal, so you shecht an animal on Yontif, you're allowed to shecht, you're allowed to do malacha to prepare food on Yontif. Now the problem is, you shecht an animal, it's very difficult to eat an entire cow by yourself in one day. So the problem is, if you don't eat it in one day, or if you don't salt it to preserve it, it's going to get spoiled. And therefore, people are going to be very hesitant to shecht an animal if they can't preserve it. Salting it to preserve it is going to be awesome. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to do a haram. What you can do is, you can shech the animal. You can salt half the animal, because that's mutter, because this is the part that you're going to eat. After you finish salting, you can say, you know what? I don't want that half. I want the steak. The steak isn't prepared yet, so you go ahead, you salt the second half, and then you eat it. Now this is clearly a haram. Clearly you're not going to eat the whole thing. And when you start salting it one half and you switch your mind, it's not really the truth. Really, you know from the beginning, you're not going to go ahead and eat the whole thing, and you're saying this up, l'chachila. Nevertheless, this is mutter. It's a haroma which is mutter. Why is it mutter? So here the place can explain. Because we have a problem. If we don't allow this haroma, people will not shecht in the first place. They will not have simchas yontif. Therefore, because we're dealing with Nisus Rabbanon, we were makel mishum simchas yontif. Chazal didn't want to be makel and matir it straight out, but at least to come up with a haroma, some sort of cover where you have some excuse, some sort of cover where it looks like there's some sort of justification. There, it is mutter l'chadchila. Now even in these cases, without going through, there are distinctions between whether it's before you ate, whether it's after you ate, whether it's vadai going to be a hefsid or only a suffik hefsid. There are differences in the degree of the harama. In other words, to do it after the meal, you already ate the suda. Now there's really no suda. That's a much bigger harama. So there, it's aser. Nevertheless, by a hefsid meruba, even in that case, it's mekel. So there's a certain balance. The more obvious the harama is, the less quick we are to be mekel. But the greater the hefsid, the quicker we are. So there's a balance. Chazal is certainly taking into account how obvious it is, how blatant it is, and also how much of a need there is. But here we find the concept of an issur d'rabbanon, Chazal were mekel l'chadchila, when there is a purpose for this kula. Mitzad sheni, the other extreme, we find that if a person does not make an eruv tavshilin, and he wants to do a similar trick, he wants to prepare food, saying, I'm preparing food for, it's on Yontif, it's Erev Shabbos, he's preparing food, say, I'm hungry, I'm preparing the food. He prepares the food and says, you know what, I changed my mind. I want to eat something else, and prepares a second dish. And really, why is he doing it? He's doing that so that the first dish he will now save for Shabbos and allow food for Shabbos. He can't prepare for Shabbos because he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. He wants to do a Haram. In this case, not only is it Osir, the Gemara says we're Machmir in by a Haram even more than had he prepared B'mezit. Why? Because if we're Mekel on this Haram, then we're going to be Mevatel the entire concept of an Erev Tavshilin. No one will bother an Erev Tavshilin. They'll just go ahead and do this haram, and they'll say, I'm not doing anything wrong. And therefore, because in this case, the harama will come to a takala, it will come to the bittul in Erev Tavshilin, there, not only did Chazal say that it, not only did Chazal say we weren't matter it, they were machmir more than amazing. Mitzai Chain, we find the third case, which is when a person is more in Shabbos as a case, where a person wanted to get across the river, not allowed to do that, not allowed to go on a boat and cross the river. So what he did is, he went onto a goy's boat, took a little nap. The goy was a friend of his. He understood when he came and saw the Jews sleeping there, he understood that there was a reason for that. He drove across the other side. The fellow woke up, and lo and behold, he said, listen, I just took a nap, and now I'm on the other side. Went ahead and went along his merry way. In that case, that is a harama. The Gemara says it is mutter because it's an Isidra Bar, not by an Isidra Raisa. But the Gemara adds, it's only mutter by a Talmud Chacham. In that case, a Talmud Chacham, we're not afraid, will abuse this heter. He'll only do it in this case. So there, by a haram, by the rabbanim for a Talmud Chacham, we're mekel. For other people, we are not. Now there's not, I'm not sure what the tzairuch over there is at all. But certainly don't have a concept of Simchas Yontif. So in that case, where it's a little bit more of a haram, it's a little bit harder to kind of explain away, you have to have taken a nap on the boat. And on the other hand, there's also less of a tzoyrich. So to be mekel for everyone, we're not. But for a Talmud Chacham, we're, by an Issa D'Rabbanon, there we are mekel. Wait a second. What? Now these are all cases where you're doing something, where whether it's mutter or not depends on your intention. And therefore, if there's a tzoyrich, l'simchas yontiv, and it's not so obvious, then it's mutter l'chachilah. In other cases where there's a problem, there's a takolo that will come out of it, we're machmir, and then we have other cases in the middle where it depends, the rabbanon depends whether the person's a talmud chacham or not. We're mekel for a talmud chacham, not for an amaret. So this is the first kind of harama where you're doing something, you're being marim by saying I'm doing it for another purpose, and l'tzorich mitzvah or l'tzorich yontiv, we're there by the rabbanon. In some cases, we are mekel. What about by kinyonim? What about if a person wants to transfer something into a goy or do some sort of, it would be mafkaret, in order to avoid a mitzvah or avoid an isser? So here we find cases even by deraisa. In the case of a bechor, if a person owns an animal and has a bechor, there's a kedusha of a bechor. If you take a goy as a partner, if a goy is a partner, then the bechor, there's no din of bechor. The halacha is that under normal circumstances, to take a goy in as a partner just to avoid the isra of Bukhar, or the din of Bukhar, is awesome.
You're talking about the mother?
The mother. I mean, in theory, making a goy a partner in the uber before it's born is very difficult. The kinyan doesn't work, it's a loybol olam. So you, in theory, could do a makna, the mother, for the uber, but that's difficult, and therefore we don't do it because it'll come to a takala. What's normally done is you create a shutzpis in the mother, and mimelo, when the child is born from the mother, the partnership carries over. It's the payers of this partnership. So although when a goy is a partner, there's no din bechor. Nevertheless, it's also for a person, at least today it's different, but it's also for a person just to create a partnership just with the express purpose to avoid the din of bechor. There's a mitzvah of bechor. Person should be looking to be mekayim mitzvahs. He shouldn't be doing things to avoid chiyuvim. We put on tzitzis every day. Tzitzis, you don't have to. Why are you putting on tzitzis? The chiyuv is when you have a bag of dalat conflicts, then there's a chiyuv to wear tzitzis. Nevertheless, because we want to grab the opportunity to be mekayim mitzvahs, we go out of our way to buy a beged that has a chiyuv in tzitzis to be mekayim the mitzvah. So going ahead and going jumping through hoops to avoid the din of Bechor, that is something that's awesome. Nevertheless, as we mentioned before, the Torah writes, today there's a mitzvah to do so. Why? Because today, if you have a Bechor with Klishos Bechor running around, there's a chashash takala. People will not treat it correctly. People will be nana from it, the gizais, the vlodais. There are all sorts of kilkulim that can come from it. And therefore, because if we allow the Bechor to come after that, Klishos Bechor, we're going to run into problems. People are going to be nichshal in Isurim. Therefore, it is better to go ahead and to go out of our way and take a goy in as a partner in the mother, and this way we will avoid a takala. So although we're doing something to avoid a mitzvah, which is generally, I don't want to use the word usur, but generally not the right thing to do, nevertheless, when there's a chashash takala, if we allow the Bechor to have a kedusha, we're going to run into other problems, there, not only is it mutter, but adrabba, there it's considered a mitzvah to do it because in the scheme of things, you're better off doing that than to have the Bechor, which will create greater problems. Now, a modern example is when they first came out with mezainis rolls. So there was a big tumult among the poskim whether mezainis rolls are really mezainis or not. So if you look at the tshuvas, most of them discussed it from two angles. There was a halachic angle, as in, was it really made with meperos? Were you kaveh asuda with it? In Hilchus Brachas, is it really a mezainis or is it hamoitzi? But then many of the tshuvas discussed from this angle as well. Why are you making a mezainis roll? Because you can't be bothered washing your hands and making a bracha on tilas yadayim and benching. So that attitude is inappropriate. You're waking up in the morning, you're putting on tzitzis because you want to be mekayim mitzvah sasei. So then adrabba, you should be looking for a way to be mekayim a mitzvah in order to grab onto another mitzvah on tilas yadayim, to be able to bench like a mensch, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food that you're having. To create an entire industry just so that Nebuch, you don't have to do the mitzvah and tilas yadayim, and so that you can don't have to bench. So that is a harama in the sense that you're doing something to avoid a mitzvah, and that's something which shouldn't be done. Now, if you're in a matzav where you can't wash, you're traveling or whatever it may be, perhaps there it would be justified. Then you'll have to deal with the halacha shayla of what bracha is it. But in a case where a person could, he's just too lazy to do the mitzvah. So we don't do things in order to avoid being a mekayim a mitzvah. So that is the case of Bechor, where even though we're dealing with the Doraisa, because there is a potential takala, there adrabah, the right thing to do is to try to avoid the mitzvah in order to go ahead and to patur it by having a goy as even a minimal partnership. Now we find other cases as well. There is, for example, if a person has a keder that needs to be toiveled, and it's on Shabbos, there's a shayla whether we can be toivel it. So there's an etza of giving it from matana to a goy and borrowing it from him. If it belongs to a goy, a yid that's using a goy, it's clear he has no chiyuv to be toivel it. So this is a potential etza. Rajbash says nothing doing. He says, you're going ahead, you're giving it to a guy, you're borrowing it. He says, the whole thing is a harama. The guy understands this thing is a joke, it's not for real. And therefore, he says, such a transaction cannot go ahead and will not work. Mitzad Sheni, the Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos says, that Adrabba, the Ramah says, is a shayla whether you're allowed to be toivel or not on Shabbos. He says, Yari Shemayim, what he should do is, if he has a keli on Shabbos, he should taka, give it to a guy and borrow it back. So this is a case where we are either about Yorei Shemayim should go ahead and should do this, should give it to a goy and borrow it back. However, here as well, here we have a problem. You have a kli you want to use on Shabbos. It's a machloikas. It could be Nikar Adin. You have the right to be Simit Lahakal and you have the right to be Toivalit. So, but in order to avoid the Shailo, Ramah says this is a better Eitzah. So this is another harama that's being done, but it's being done for a purpose. It's being done because without the harama, we have a shayla of what to do, or a shayla of whether you're allowed to be toivel. So to avoid it, you can go ahead, you give it to a guy. Afal Pigein, the Mishnah Berurah says, you can only be slamech on this eitz on Shabbos. After Shabbos, you have to go ahead and you have to toivel it, because even though you were mocking it to a guy, since now that you borrowed it from him, you're going to keep it. The guy, it's obvious, the guy is not taking it back. This ownership that you transferred to him is rather iffy, and therefore you're only saying on Shabbos. After Shabbos, you should be toivel it. you don't make a bracha because you were makne it to a guy and there was a kinyan. But nevertheless, it's not a long-term solution. We're not samech on it because it is a haram. Now, what about mechiras chametz? What about mechiras chametz? You're selling your chametz. You're selling it to a guy. Is that a harama? And what's the pshat? So the makar of mechiras chametz comes from the Tosefta that you're allowed to sell your chametz to a guy. But the last three words of the Tosefta, it depends on the girsa, is you're allowed to sell it to a guy before Pesach. Ubilvad shelo yarev. It can't be with a haram. Now the Beis Yosef understand that what this means is you can sell it to the guy with the option of buying it back. You have to sell it clean, a clean sale, and it could be he'll know that you'll probably buy it back. That's what happened in the past. But you can't leave yourself that right, that option, otherwise that would be a haram. But in the absence of that, we sell chametz before Pesach, even though it's clearly a haram, it's clearly being done to avoid the isser of chametz. So on this, we have a famous tzvushar that says, this kind of thing where you're selling it to a guy just to avoid an isser, he says, is only mutter by an isser d'rabbanan. And he bases it in the Gemara in Shabbos that we mentioned before with the ship. But he says, by chametz, really, midor raisa, your mevatel chametz, that's good enough. Midor raisa, all you have to do for Pesach, you get up in the morning, erev Pesach, you say, I am mevatel all the chametz that I own. You don't have to scrub, you don't have to clean, you don't have to do bedika. Midor raisa, that's all you have to do to get ready for Pesach. Nevertheless, Chazal said, we cannot be soimich on a bittel. Perhaps you won't mean it, you'll find a nice cookie, whatever the reason is. And midrabbanan, there are guys where you have to get rid of it as well. Because this is only a chiv derabbanan of getting rid of it, for that, if we have a harama, where we go ahead and you sell it to a guy, harama on a drabonon is, you can be simach on a harama drabonon. This is the sheet of the Tfuah Shor, and this is actually brought down by many achrayim. That by doiraisa, to go ahead and set something up and selling it to a guy in Hefker, they're not mekel. By drabonon, they're much quicker to be mekel. Now, lemaisa, although it's pasha to the Tfuah Shor, many achrayim argue. Excellent, excellent. So what they say is, what Tzvur Shor learns, you have to be mevatel it. The problem is, when are you mevatel? You mevatel it before you sell it, then how do you sell it? And if you mevatel it and after you sell it, then what are you being mevatel? So this is what the Achroinim, one of the kashas that they ask on the Tzvur Shor. But many say, partially for that reason, they say selling and bittel are stiras, so you don't do both of them. But, and more than that, the Gemara in Shabbos, the raya is from, the case of a ship is really not a raya, because in that case, it was a real haram. It wasn't a sale. It was there, you were going to sleep on the ship. You were saying, I just happened to have been napping, I wasn't trying to cross the river. That kind of harama is only going to work by drabanu. But if you actually sell it to a guy, with a real mechira, so it's true, the reason for this was to get around the yisr. But it was sold. If it was sold to the guy and a proper kinyan was done, so mehechatesa there's a chok drabon and teresa. By bechor we find you can sell the ears to a guy, and although the only reason why he's buying it is to avoid the din of bechor, nevertheless, even though it's a teresa, it'll work. So many achroinim argue and they say that at least conceptually, if you do a good kinyan, there it will help by teresa. Now that doesn't mean it is mutter to do so. Even by Bechor, we're only makel and only to do it because there is a takal. But if a person does it, even by Daraisa, many Achroinim argue with Tfuah Shor and say that it will work. Again, this is a big tumble among the Achroinim.
What
does
Daraisa
do for you? Bayuran, Bayumatza.
And
that's the issue. You're doing a harama. This is not, if you want to sell your chametz and it's sold, it belongs to a guy, there's no question. Here, you're entering into a haramadika transaction, where you're selling it to him with this expectation or understanding he's buying it back, he's giving you a dollar, and it's a haram. Wait a second. So the question is, when you enter into a transaction where the guy understands he's not interested in buying it, he's going through the motions, he's doing it as a harama only, can you do a harama on a daraisa? The Tfuah Shor says no. He says we can only do this in Yisamich on this quasi-sale because it's a drabanan. If it was an isur daraisa, you want to sell it off completely, sell it off completely. You want to burn it, burn it. But to go ahead and sell it to a guy in a way where it's not, where he's going to give it back to you, which is a harama, Tfuah Shor says on a daraisa, you can't do it. And therefore, even by chometz, he has a case where there's a shayla outside of daraisa. He says nothing doing. You cannot be samech on the mechira in that case. Now, there is also a distinction in the level of haram. You know, it's in the case of bechor. In the case of bechor, you sold the ears to the goy. You were selling the ears to a goy. Now, what the goy is doing with the ears, I don't know. What they're worth is probably nothing. But no one was undoing the transaction the next day, and it was understood it was his. So you do a regular kinyan. You make a shtar, you kinyan kesef, meshicha, chotzer, agav, whatever the kinyanim are made, it's his. So although it's being done to avoid an iser, but the transaction is real. Chametz v'pesach is more iffy because it's makom to say the guy wasn't saying v'das. He didn't really mean it. And that's why, again, there's a discussion among the achrayim. Some look at it as more of a rama than others. Some people are makbar by chametz gomer. But here, the chiddush is that even though it's a funny transaction, afal pikein, the poskim are mekel, some only by the rabbanon, some even by the araisa. But that is an added level of harama in these cases. Now, by chametz and pesach, even the reason why they're mekel, although it's not a dvar mitzvah, but nevertheless, for many people, it was a tremendous shas atchak. Like I mentioned before, it was very common for people to have bars. If you have to get rid of all your schnapps before Pesach, it's a tremendous hefzid. You have to either run down your stock beforehand, and then come at Sayyantiv, you now have to start making new stock or buying new stock from somewhere. It's a tremendous, tremendous hefzid, and it's a tremendous shas atchak. And that is why, even though it's harama, so according to Tfuah Shara, only by Drabanan, but according to others, even if it would be a case of Daraisa, if it is a major Shas HaTechak, there we find that the Poiskim were Mekel with a Harama because of this Shas HaTechak. So in other words, when you have an Isser, and it's extremely difficult for people to be Mekayimah, so although Tzitzis, we go out of our way to be Nischayev in a Mitzvah, nevertheless, when it's a Shas HaTechak and a Hefzim Merubah, if there's a way to structure things where you're not technically being over, there the G'dayli HaPoiskim in many cases were Mako because of the Takala. In order to allow people to have their Parnasa, in order to prevent people from being having a Nisayan, which many people will not be able to withstand, it was better to allow a Harama, and this way to find an Oifen of Heter, than it was just to go ahead and to be Machmir and to put people in an assignment that they may not be able to withstand. We have a similar concept in Hilchos Shabbos. There's a din of Shvisas Behema. If you have an animal and you rent it to a goy, your animal's not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Now, that's a bit problematic. If you're in the animal renting business, if you go ahead and you rent your animals to a goy and you tell them, by the way, Friday at sundown, the animal's got to stop working until Motzei Shabbos. So you're not going to be very successful renting out your cows. The guy wants to use it. So over here we find also the Ramah is Mekel, that if you go ahead and rent an animal to a guy, you can then be mafker the animal just before Shabbos. You're mafker it in front of three people preferably. It's not your animal, it's hefker. So this way it's technically not, your animal is not being over the issa. So this case is brought down halacha that it's mutter. We're dealing with a potential doiraisa. Shvisas behemah is doiraisa. But nevertheless, we say that if a person is mafgerit, the bottom line is it was hefker over Shabbos. So even though it was clearly done to avoid the din of shvisas behemah, nevertheless, it's mutter. And Bihalacha has a tremendous arichos going through many poskim that it's a very big bidiyever, very much shas atchak. He says a person should not be samech on it, because this kind of harama, where you're doing it only to avoid an iser, especially over here where there's maris ayin, people see the animal working, they don't realize that you are mafkarit, it's very b'dievet, it very strongly discourages it, but again, it's another example where, when there is a shas atchak, when there is a tremendous tzoyruch, there the G'dayi HaPoiskim came up with an oif, had to do something about oif and heter, to avoid people being nechshon. Going back now, we have a rather long-winded detour, but going back to the case of Schareb and Macholos Asuris, where you want to lend someone money and you want to structure it where you're getting a percentage of the profits. So Kveger writes, he says like this. He says it's clearly a haram. The way you structure the deal, you're lending it to him, you're getting a percentage of the profits, and you're clearly doing it because you want to be involved in the business. You have a problem with Schareb and Macholos Asuris, so you're recharacterizing it as a loan in order to be over the issue. So Dr. Kveger, such a haram in Ikeres, where it's so obvious to everyone that this is just being done to avoid the Yisr, he says it's very kosher, lahakal, it's a chukul, tuya, even the guy is going to look at this as a joke, he's going to look at you as a partner regardless of how you papered it over, and therefore he says, he's noitzah to say that such a haram of fratr, could be it's a daraisa, he says, very noitzah that you can't be saimachane. However, Zakr Kveger, mitzai cheni, if I'm machmer, l'maisa, what's going to happen? Many people are not going to be able to be Nisayim. And many people will go ahead and instead, okay, you don't let me do this loan, this harama, I'll open my own Burger King. I'll do it b'issa. And therefore, he said to go ahead and to be machmer when it's a shas adchaf, when it's such a Nisayim for people, and there is a harama, there is something that could be done. He says, also, not so simple. And therefore, he does not have hachra. He says he's going to leave it in the eyes of the Moira Hara of that place, that area, to use his shikol hadas. And if you look at it in the tshuvas that Negei Het and Mechiras on Shabbos, they're very similar dynamic as well. Some of the tshuvas say that we have to find the harama because if we're not matar of Het and Mechira, then people are not going to be able to say they're going to have their businesses open. They're going to do it b'yisr. Others, Adarabah, in other places, they felt they had more of a control. The people there would be Ayyubin bin Isayin, and they held Fakir. If you allow the Harama, then one thing will lead to the next, and before you know it, people will be, the entire Shabbos, they'll be busy with their businesses, they'll forget about Shabbos completely. So there was always this Shikul Hadas. On one hand, by Ashas Adchak, B'makum Hefsid, if you find the Harama, a way to do it Beheter, there, B'Shas Adchak, even by the Raisa, many Poiskim were Mekel, again, Rabbanon for sure of Deraisa is a machlokes, but there are merkilim. But it was always balancing the level of the harama and the tzayra. There was one last case, which is without going into the details, by the hetu mechira by shvius. There already many poskim argued on it completely, and there are a number of reasons for it. But one of the reasons they said is that a harama is a harama, but everything has its limits. And to say that when the Rav sits down with a guy, now he's selling over the entire country to a guy for the entire year, that kind of harama where it's we don't change the title, where clearly the guy understands it's not going to be his, there the Chazanish wrote that this doesn't even rise to a level of harama, so it doesn't matter deraisa, derabanan, hefsid, not hefsid, there he was argued because it's too much. So every case of harama, you have to verify that it's taka harama, that it's a deal. It may be being done to avoid an isser, but a taka is a true kinyan, a true transaction.